my children. I thought you were fantastic. And the first thing we're going to do is give the children another big round of applause, because they were great. And if you want to, you can listen to me as well. Mind you, it's very difficult not to listen to me because I have a very loud voice. There was somebody said to me today, "You've got a very good voice, haven't you?" And I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, we could hear you when you were singing." I said, "So you don't mean it was a good voice? It was a loud voice." There we are. Now, I wonder if you know the difference between mercy and grace. Strange, but they're words used a lot in the Bible, and they're very different. And a friend of mine told me a story which I think explains the difference. Okay? So I think it's important we know this. He said he knew a man who had an orchard, and the boys nearby used to go and steal the apples from the orchard. And one day he caught them all, and he took them home to their parents, and he said, "I want you to bring these boys to my house on Sunday tea time, because they've been caught stealing from my orchard." And their parents were very cross, of course, because they'd been naughty. And they came to the man's house on the Sunday afternoon with the children. And the man was in his front room with the children in his very nice house. And he said to the children, "Now, what you did was wrong. You know that, don't you?" And the boy said, "Yes, we know it was wrong." And he said, "But I forgive you. You should be punished, but I'm not going to punish you, and I'm not going to tell your parents to punish you. I'm just going to forgive you." Now, that is mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Okay? And then he said, "Now come in here." And he opened the door into his dining room. He had a dining room. And on the table was a table full of lovely cakes and jelly and ice cream. And he said, "Go on, boys, you can help yourselves." Now that was grace. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Now, the reason I've told you that is there's one verse in the Bible, and you might think it's not much to do with Christmas, but I hope to show you that it is. And it comes in a letter written by a man called Paul to some people in Greece. And this is what he said to them in part of his letter. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might be rich." Now, the actual story of the Lord Jesus' birth in the Bible doesn't make a big deal about the fact that he became poor. And it certainly doesn't make a big deal about the fact that he was rich. Children, are any of you rich? No. Anybody in this room rich? No, some of you've got plenty of cash, have you? There you go. I mean, I don't think many of us would say that we were rich. But actually, I could bring you some friends of mine from a little village right out in the countryside in India. And if you told them how much you have, they would say, "Wow, you're rich, aren't you?" Because they don't have anything like as much as we have. Now, do you hear what the Bible said? "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich." Now we're talking about rich. Jesus was richer than any of us can even imagine. He was rich in his possessions. What? He owns everything. Everything. There's nothing that he doesn't own. He owns the whole world. He owns every animal in the whole world. He owns all the gold and all the silver and all the precious stones. He owns everything. And not just in the world. He owns everything in the universe. So the stars do the actions. Come on, you've got to do the actions. He owns the stars. He owns the moon. He made them. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Everything that was made by him. That's what one of the apostles wrote at the beginning of his gospel. So that's rich. He was rich in his possessions. But he was also rich in glory. Anybody like a bit of glory? You see these footballers, they score a goal in a football match and they like a bit of glory, don't they? Mind you, we all do. We all like a little bit of glory, don't we? If we do something well, we like people to say, well, that was really good, and we get a little bit of glory. But Jesus' glory is not like that. Jesus' glory is something we couldn't even look at. Can you imagine that? So bright, so perfect, so pure, we couldn't even look at it. Our eyes could not look at it. It's too bright. And it was the glory he had with the Father before the world began. God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. So he was rich in companionship. Can you imagine being with someone for a month and never having a disagreement? Can you imagine that? A month. Okay, perhaps some of you could. How about a year? How about a lifetime? How about eternity? And never having a disagreement. You see, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, live together in eternity without ever disagreeing. Always wanting to do the same thing together. And Jesus was rich. Yet, the Bible says, for your sake, he became poor. And that's when we come to the Christmas story, you see. Can you imagine the tiny little baby put in a wooden animal feed trough as being the one who made the whole world? It's impossible. We can't imagine it. If God hadn't told us that's what he did, we wouldn't believe it, would we? But God has told us that's what he did. And we have a Christmas carol that we sing. It goes like this. He laid aside his majesty, gave up everything for me. He did it. He came down to be a human being, born like a baby. And, you know, all these pictures you see of the baby Jesus with this thing around his head, you know, this golden thing gleaming around his head. Don't believe any of that. He was a baby. He had dirty nappies. Okay, let's bring it down to earth, shall we? He cried when he was hungry. No crying he makes, you must be joking. He was a baby. He gave up all that glory. He gave up all those possessions. He gave up that companionship, and he became a human being like us. He came to this earth and he gave it all up. He became poor. He was born in a mother's womb. He was in the darkness of a mother's womb. Can you imagine someone who'd lived the entire eternity in light? He comes down into the darkness of a woman's womb, completely helpless. The one who made the world becomes completely helpless, lives on new nourishment from the mother until he's born in this world, and he's strapped up and put in an animal feeding trough, and he ends up growing up in a backwater town, learning to be a carpenter like his dad. And this is the one who made the world. And one day he's in the wilderness and the devil comes to tempt him. And the devil says to him, come on, you're the Son of God. You can turn these stones into bread. I know you haven't eaten for 40 days. Go on, you must be hungry. Turn the stones into bread. And he says, no, I've given all that up. I've put that aside. for himself. He did wonderful things for other people, but nothing for himself. And he became so poor that after they crucified him, they couldn't even afford a tomb for him. Somebody else gave him the tomb he was buried in. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. He came down to this earth because none of us, not one of us, could make ourselves right with God, because we're all sinners. He came into the world without sin and never sinned. So when he was punished on the cross, it was not for his own sins. He had no sins to be punished for. It was for someone else's sins. For the sins of everybody who trusts him. For the sins of everybody who will believe.